Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, it's been another interesting week, exciting week, dangerous week. I don't know which adjective applies more. We have a lot to talk about, some very serious, heavy stuff. I'm going to start with Pope Francis. Pope Francis. This man is a breath of fresh air. He's trying to open the doors of the Catholic Church to let fresh air in once again, let sunlight in. The Catholic Church has lost a significant number of members. People today, many people, most people are Catholics in their hearts only. They don't participate actively in the religion. They don't go to church. They don't go to church. I'm sorry. Something was wrong with the mic. They don't go to church and so forth. Francis wants to bring them back. And he's taken some pretty drastic measures. He's just done things that totally aggravate the bishops of the world and the cardinals. And it's interesting because the cardinals voted this man in. This week, what did he do? Two biggies this week. Number one, he fired the head of the Swiss Guard. Understand what the Swiss Guard is. It's 500 men. They dress in what I like Spanish cotillion outfits, something from maybe 1200, something from the Middle Ages. Their sole job is to protect the Pope, and there's 500 of them. And they have a head, and the head of the Swiss Guard has been head for quite a while. He and the Pope don't get along. The Pope refers to him as being too Teutonic. Teutonic means too bossy. You have to understand, Pope Francis does not live in the Vatican. He did not want to live in, they've got very opulent quarters for him. He lives like royalty, as he should. He's the head of a state, head of a religion. Instead, he lives in a hostel outside the Vatican. He rents a room and he has a little kitchen. He cooks his own meals. This is amazing. And he walks to work. Well, they leave a Swiss guard standing outside the hostel to protect him. He has told the Swiss guard, he has told the leader, I don't want him there. I don't need him there. The members of the Swiss guard cannot. They are prohibited from speaking to the Pope. Nor can they touch the Pope. So the Pope came out a couple of weeks ago, and he started talking to the Swiss Guard, and the Swiss Guard responded. You know, he asked the Swiss Guard, would you like a cup of coffee? I'll go across the street and buy one for you and bring it to you. And the Swiss Guard said, no, thank you. Then the Pope shook his hand. The Swiss Guard talked, and he touched. He got fired. He's back now. And the Pope had it with this guy. This wasn't the first time. The head of the Swiss Guard was not listening to the Pope. The Pope's numero uno. Numero uno. He's like the President of the United States. So it was goodbye to the Teutonic leader. Not the first person that's been demoted or dumped by this Pope. What else did he do? This man speaks of helping the poor. He's always talking about the poor, the needy. We must help them. Turns out that he thinks they smell. They need a bath. They need a shower. Unfortunately, there are not sufficient showers available in the Rome area to accommodate the homeless people. So what did the Pope do this past week? I love this. I'm laughing a little bit as I say it. I have been to St. Peter's Square, historic St. Peter's Square. You know, it's that huge area where thousands of people stand, and the Pope's in the window blessing everybody on Sunday. And guess what he did? He ordered three showers built for the homeless people in the heart of historic St. Peter's. It's like St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, putting one on the front steps or something. And they did it. There's a little bathroom to the left as you're facing the Vatican itself. And this little building is a public toilet. I found it interesting the last time I was at St. Peter's, and this is a long time ago, 30-some-odd years, I visited St. Peter's. I went in to go to the bathroom. When you go in, if you need, before you go, you buy two pieces of toilet paper for a nickel. They will only sell you two pieces, and it costs you a nickel. And I found that humorous, funny, etc. Anyhow, attached to that building are the three showers. Cleanliness is next to godliness. But the man's thinking, the man's doing. And, of course, the cardinals, the bishops, the synod, they're all upset with him because he's desecrating, in effect, okay, historic St. Peter Square. Let's move over now to France, the president of France. I want to talk about him because I believe he did something unusual this past week and sensible. The guy did something good. I haven't always been impressed with Holland. Anyhow, here's what he did, President Holland. You are aware that Obama wants us to enter into three new treaties that have to do with trade, one with Europe, one with Asia, and one to cover the operation of all this stuff. And the one with Europe that we would be involved in would be TTIP. It would be the largest free trade deal ever. It would be the United States and the 28 nations in the European Union agreeing to do business with each other, buy, sell, import, export on a huge scale. You have to understand, we would send our food we grow to Europe. We would send meat, beef, chickens to Europe. And all of these things involve GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And the French don't want them. They said, we don't want the GMOs in our country. They're on organic food in France. And here's what he said. He said, food, and this makes sense when you're talking about a Frenchman, is about pleasure and taste. American foods are hormonally treated. They have hormones shot into them. We're talking now about beef. They are chemically sanitized. Our chickens are chemically sanitized with chlorine. And they're genetically modified, their foodstuffs. We don't want them. Now, Germany's already come out and said, we're not interested because we don't want the GMOs coming into our country. Putin said about 2 weeks ago that Russia would not participate. And the reason Russia would not participate, they don't want the chemicals in their food. He said specifically, let the Americans eat their chemical foods. So Putin isn't going to enter into this deal. He's a member of the European nations. And it's anticipated that the 28 nations are going to turn this trade deal down. And I hope they do. I respect them. The whole world, most nations are against GMOs, from China, Asia, to the European Union nations, Germany, France, Latin America, South America. They're all throwing GMOs out. They're throwing the Monsantos out. But we stay with them. We are the only large developed nation in the world that supports GMOs. And I'll tell you why. Because money talks. Laws have been passed over the last 10, 15 years in Washington which support the growing of GMOs, the use of GMOs, the hormones, whatever's being done that involves chemicals. By law, it's okay. I'll tell you how strong these laws are. It is on the books, federal law, that if you go to a Monsanto farm, and you take a picture of that farm, even though you're on the side of the fence, this public property, it is a felony. You can be arrested. Hey, that's how strong it is because they have money. They had strong lobbies, and they influence our congressmen. It's the old story. I say this all the time, and it's not disrespectful. Our Congress has been bought, and our presidents have been signing these bills. I don't know who the hell's been watching things in Washington over the last 10 years when it comes to this kind of stuff. But we're in trouble with GMOs, and again, we're the only major country that seems to favor them. The other thing I want to talk about with regard to this trade deal, free trade deal, the TTIP that France has just indicated it will reject, is that we are being told in this country, I heard the president on TV the other night saying it will increase jobs. It will give us more jobs because we're going to need increased stuff. We're going to grow the cows. We're going to have more beef, et cetera. We got to ship it all to Europe. They're going to send us more stuff. There'll be a ton of jobs created. Can't lose. It's a win-win deal for everyone. Well, this is the same garbage we were told we were sold with NAFTA. And you remember, NAFTA was going to create more jobs for us. And what did NAFTA do? It sent the jobs out of the United States to Europe and Mexico and to China. Can you imagine? We were told with NAFTA, we were told, I can remember President Clinton, we're going to have more jobs. It's a known fact, we don't have more jobs. We have much fewer jobs because corporate America found it cheaper to go over to foreign countries to produce their goods rather than here in the United States. And if we have TTIP, the same thing is going to happen. I don't buy what the president is saying in this regard. All right. I view banks as whores. The banks, Wall Street, the financial world, they gave us the recession. We are in the of 2008 that we're coming out of. I don't believe we're out of it. We're far from out of it. When you've got 2.5 million homeless children in this country, I don't have to say anything more. When you have a 1% and 99% ratio where the 1% are making money and the 99 aren't, I need not say any more. Well, they're at it again. The banks are out there playing games again. On Thursday, December 11, you have heard this date several times, the Congress is going to vote on the budget. The House of Representatives is going to vote on the new budget. We need a budget, our budget, by December 11 to continue operating the government. Remember they closed us down last year? Well, they're threatening to do it again. And they're looking for all kinds of concessions and things that have nothing to do with paying the bills for the operation of the government, like paying salaries of federal employees and soldiers, paying rent where they rent buildings, paying for new machinery and so forth. There are other things that are added into this bill to get a free ride. And one of the things is this. The lobbyists have gone all out in the last 10 days, the lobbyists, and they're in Congress, in the halls of Congress, trying to get this provision in the bill. They want the taxpayers, all right? They want the taxpayers on the hook for bad derivative trades. Let's look at it this way. Mortgages. We had bad mortgages, 2006, 2007, 2008. They started going down. Wall Street really didn't get hurt because those mortgages were guaranteed by the federal government, by the Federal Deposit Insurance Company. And the money in the Federal Deposit Insurance Company is your money and mine, taxpayer money. So the banks, eventually, they all got money. Besides bailing them out, all those, and they didn't talk about this when they got bailed out, but these guys were getting paid by the federal government already because the Federal Deposit Insurance Company was required by law to pay them for any mortgage losses they had in the games they were playing on the mortgages. Well, now they're not screwing around with mortgages anymore, the banks, but they are screwing around with derivatives. And they're gambling with derivatives like they did with mortgages. And they're swinging big time. And where they succeed, they are making big dollars. But nobody's covering their asses if they lose. So what they want, Wall Street wants the taxpayers on the hook for any losses caused by risky contracts, derivative contracts that they enter into. It would be 2008 all over again. See what happened? It killed us in 2008. In 2010, when the Dodd-Frank bill came out, it said no more derivative transactions, because subsidiaries do this, no more derivative transactions in subsidiaries that are backed up with the Federal Deposit Insurance Company with taxpayer dollars. If Wall Street wants to play with derivatives, they've got to play with it in subsidiaries not backed by taxpayer money, and that's the way it's been since 2010. The Dodd-Frank bill corrected things. That was one of the things it corrected. Now the banks, Wall Street, want to go back to the way it was before 2010. They want 2010 repealed, the Dodd-Frank provision, and they want a new provision in there that will cover their assets if they lose on the derivative trading. That's what's happening in Washington. And from what I read and what I hear, it has a good chance of being in the bill. I don't believe this. I don't believe that Congress would vote for this, the House again. But it looks like they may. And if they do, I don't know how we get rid of them. They should be ashamed of themselves. Then the people in this country got to stand up and shout at some point. And this is one of the places where this is an example of where it's needed. When people have money problems, they can't afford everything. A family that's, you know, short on dollars, they decide no family vacation this year. Ma doesn't need a new winter coat. The kids can wear last winter's clothing. We can hand me down. We won't buy new shoes. Well, instead of having to buy new shoes every 3 months, we'll wait 4 to 5 months to buy new shoes. That new car we wanted can wait a couple more years. The one we've got will go more time, even though we've already had it 5 or 6 years. People cut back, which is what you're supposed to do. Our government doesn't, though, when they have money problems. They just make more money. Anyhow, an interesting thing has occurred with families. You know where else they've cut back? They've cut back on making babies. They have cut back on making babies. The birth rate in the United States dropped to an all-time low this past year. Since 2007, it has been dropping. And when did the mortgage problem start? In 2007. It really hit big in 2008. People are still suffering from the recession. They're not having as many children. They are only having 62.5 births. We only have 62.5 births per 1,000 today, whereas in 2007, before 2006, we had 69.3 per 1,000. That 6-7 points is a lot when you multiply it the way it is. So people aren't having as many babies. And this will create an economic problem if we continue to have fewer and fewer children. It won't work because we won't have enough people to support the old in this country, because that's the way these numbers work. China's having this problem right now. Remember, they didn't want baby girls. They were killing them. You could only have one birth per family, otherwise there was forced abortion. And now they find they don't have enough people to support the old, so they want more children. We could be in a serious economic problem because of this. I think it's a terrible personal social problem also. Let me talk about Greece. I know Greece. You're all aware of this. I've spent much time in Greece. I've talked about Greece on this show. I've written about Greece in my weekly newspaper column. The book I published last December, The World Upside Down, I have several articles in there concerning Greece. I said 3 years ago in the articles I started writing on Greece that if there was a world war, I did not think it would start in the Middle East. It would start in Greece. Here's why. This past weekend, 6 major cities in Greece had major demonstrations, protests. They aren't where you walk down the street in Greece. The pictures on the internet tell the story, the videos. These were the policemen, you know, covered with their guard machine or the things on their head, batons, fighting the people. They were fighting, banging stuff against each other. Who's got a stick? Who's got this? The cops got their batons. And there's smoke from the tear gas, okay? This is real violence on a big scale. Today, now this is Tuesday, today, the Greek stock market dropped more today than it has in about 25 years. The last time the stock market dropped this much in one day was 1987. Why? The market's afraid there's going to be an upheaval. The Greek people have been on an austerity budget for years. I said, and I still think, the European Union lent all this money to everyone. It was basically Germany's money. Now they want to be paid back. These countries, some of them like Italy, Greece, Spain, Portugal, can't pay it back. They're like people that made bad loans. And they're saying you got to give us a better deal, lower payments over an extended time. The European Union is bending only very little. Germany wants to be paid back. They're adamant, and I can understand, because if Germany doesn't get this money paid back, Germany's going to be broken in a recession, no question about it. So they've been on this austerity budget, and when you're on an austerity budget, eventually your business closed down. You don't have a place to work. People haven't worked in several years now in Greece. They can't afford to buy food for their families. The farmers can't afford to grow the food because nobody's got the money to buy the food. And there have been demonstrations. And when you have bad problems, bad people come to the forefront. Think Germany. Adolf Hitler, he wouldn't have had his chance were it not for the fact that Germany was broke. The Allies killed them with all kinds of payments they had to make after World War I, and it gave Hitler the opportunity and the Nazi Party to come to life. Well, the same thing's happening in Greece. I've written about this. I've talked about this. Greece has a Nazi Party. And I spelled out that in the last Greek election, I think it was 3 years ago, the Nazi Party, which had been a non-entity 10 to 15 years ago, was around, but nobody paid attention to it, was now the third largest party in the parliament, the Greek parliament. It had 18 seats it acquired in the last election. And they have been in the forefront. They control everything. They even control the police department. Everyone's scared of them. They wear the black shirts. They have swastikas on their flags. They do the Heil Hitler. They hate Jews. They hate immigrants. They made immigrants the Jews of yesterday. And they're killing them and discriminating against them and beating them up. So Greece is in trouble. The president announced today, in view of the demonstrations and in view of the stock market drop, he was calling for new elections because the people don't want austerity. His government cannot survive. And what's going to happen, I'm telling you now, the election will elect the dissidents. The Nazi Party will no longer be number three. They definitely will be number two. They'll have a major influence in the operation of Greece. They could also be number one because these people are downtrodden. They don't care. They're going to all go to anyone that will promise them everything. And the Nazi Party is providing and promising everything right now to those who have little in Greece. The same thing is happening in Italy on a lesser scale. In Milan on Sunday, again, the video's on the internet, there was a major demonstration in the major square in Milan where the cathedral is that I visited 2 years ago and I visited 3 years ago. The cathedral, if you recall, I wrote about this and talked about it. I fell asleep inside. I was tired from walking around until somebody nudged me that works in the church and said, you can't sleep here. But anyhow, and this is where Mussolini announced to his country that he was declaring war. He was joining Germany. He stood on the top second floor of a building and yelled, war, 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 pushing his right hand up. They had a major demonstration there. Not violent, but that square, which is huge, it's bigger than a baseball field, was full of people. And they're starting to protest there now because they're broke. People can't pay taxes anymore. The taxes they've raised are so high because they're forced to pay money back to the Euro Union, which Germany wants and won't give them a break, and things are bad in Italy. And I'm going to tell you something else. Berlusconi's coming back. He's manipulating now. It's amazing. Let's go to Chernobyl. Remember Chernobyl? 28 years ago, on April 26, 1986, Chernobyl's in Russia, there was a leak at a nuclear reactor facility. A nuclear plant had a radioactive leak. Now, you know you can't have radioactive leaks because people die right away or their children are going to be born with no fewer limbs and arms. It's just a bad situation all the way around. Well, drones are now in vogue, and some drones recently flew over Chernobyl and took pictures. And I looked at those pictures, and they're very interesting. Chernobyl's a city. I mean, it's sort of a major city. They have big buildings, tall buildings, small buildings. No one lives in Chernobyl. A lot of the windows are broken, the buildings. You can sense something's wrong and no one's there. It's a very eerie feeling. That's how it looks today, 28 years later, because there's still radioactivity and it's not safe. Even though the radioactivity diminishes, it's less today, it's still bad. People can't handle it. This area is just nothing. Also, those people who now enter it for governmental or whatever reason they want to go in have to be totally suited. I was an environmental attorney. Anytime I went through an industrial plant that was polluted because of hazardous waste, I had to dress like these guys dress, the yellow suit, the big pants, the big jacket, the big helmet like the cops have who enter into these protests. I had an air tank, I had big boots, big gloves, and you walk slowly. I either looked like the fella who had the underwater gear in the old days and went down on the floor of the ocean to look for things. I thought I was dressed like an astronaut. That's all I could think of. And I would go into these buildings, and death was in those buildings. That's why I had to go that way. I couldn't smell what was in there. It would kill me. And I would see death. I would see the bodies, not the bodies, of dogs and cats. And these bodies were just bones. There was no flesh on them. It was obvious what they were, and you can see they just dropped. And no rats ate them up because rats couldn't live in there. And they just, over a period of years, because some of these properties were 20, 30, 40 years old, they've been closed. And that's the way it was. Well, that's the way it is in Chernobyl. Things are still bad there, and I thought we ought to recollect it because the use of nuclear power keeps coming up. It's the cheapest way to produce electricity, my friends. I think it's good. It's okay. But you're going to have leaks, and you're going to have another Chernobyl. And that, my friends, is the show for this week. I never seem to have enough time. I'm glad you joined me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I look forward to your comments following this show. You're aware you can catch it if you miss it. Most of you listen to it on the archive version during the week or on Facebook or YouTube. I look forward again to your comments. I thank you for joining me. I love doing this show. Remember, I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like this show, buy my book. You can get it on Amazon.com. If you don't like this show, don't buy the book because the way I talk here and the things I talk about and how I approach them, those topics, that's how I handle things in the book. Once again, thank you. Talk with you next week.